A new report by an internal Pentagon advisory board offers some gloomy assessments of the nation's capability to defend itself in cyberspace. The panel says it'll be at least 5 to 10 years before the U.S. can ward off a sophisticated attack against critical infrastructure, and that includes the infrastructure that supports vital weapon systems. Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu writes about all of this in his this week's edition of Inside the DoD Reporter's Notebook, and he joins me now with more. So, Jared, I guess gloomy is a good word for this thing.
Yeah, some stark conclusions coming from the Defense Science Board is the panel behind this. Very well-respected panel. It's done a lot of work, actually, on cyber in recent years. And this particular report is all about cyber deterrence, and I want to emphasize that most of the report is built around recommendations for what the DoD and broader government need to do to get ahead of this problem. But it starts with, as you said, some really stark assessments. That 5 to 10 year time frame is mostly referring to a sophisticated cyber adversary like a China or a Russia. They're basically saying that we'd be on the losing end if one of those countries decided they actually wanted to launch a serious attack against critical infrastructure, you know, the power grid, the financial sector. Now, there's a lot of reasons, obviously, that those countries have decided that it's not in their interest to launch an attack like that. But one of the board's conclusions is that if your defensive capabilities aren't up to snuff, your best bet is to deter an attack. And one of the ways you do that is with the threat that we can strike back, whether that's through cyber, whether that's through a more conventional weapon. The way DoD has kind of famously articulated that in the past is, if you shut down our power grid, maybe we'll put a missile down one of your smokestacks. Which takes us to probably the more worrying part of this report, which is those missiles and lots of other strike platforms are themselves highly vulnerable to cyber attack, in the board's estimation. So, in other words, the same people striking your power grid could also shut down your ability to retaliate. So there goes your deterrence.
The systems that control missiles, of course, were installed in the 1950s and 1960s, way before the internet. So they're probably not directly connected, but they might be connected to later systems that are connected to the net.
I think that's exactly right. We don't have a ton of insight into exactly how those things are networked together for obvious good reasons. But yes, it's absolutely the case that there have been systems layered on top of those older systems for command and control, for even basic things like logistics, making sure fuel and food gets to troops, when and where they're needed. So, given all that, what the board's recommending in that area is urgent and sustained attention, is the way they put it, to shore up the cyber defenses on a lot of those platforms, things like guided missile submarines, strike aircraft. And they're recommending that as DoD starts modernizing the nuclear arsenal to replace those systems that you were talking about, it really needs to think carefully about whether those systems should be connected to the network at all. Because if they are, they're at least theoretically vulnerable to cyber attack.
And all of the new weapon systems, including the airplanes and so forth that deliver them, are definitely networked, because that's part of the whole capability of them, is to be networked.
Absolutely. I think what you're getting to is, that's really the whole selling point of the F-35. And in many ways, it's a less capable aircraft from a pure, aviation perspective as a strike fighter. But the big capability it brings is that it's networked. It starts crunching numbers and bringing data into the cockpit before the pilot even straps in and sits down. So, yes, that's exactly right.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu. And the other issue is, what are our own offensive capabilities with respect to cyber? There have been published reports that maybe we had something to do with nuclear missiles from North Korea not going where they're supposed to go, or blowing up or crashing into the ocean. Not clear that it was their own ineptitude or our cyber attacks.
Yeah, and that gets to another, I'm glad you raised that, because that gets to another main point in the Defense Science Board report. As you kind of suggest there, DoD and the broader government have been extremely shy about even disclosing what our cyber offensive capabilities are, and then letting people know when we have used them. And the board kind of suggests maybe that's not such a good idea. If you really want to deter people in cyberspace, you got to kind of make it clear when you are retaliating. First, you need to retaliate, to show that you're serious, and you need to let folks know that offensive cyber capabilities are part of the arsenal. So the co-chairs of the Defense Science Board panel that wrote this report testified about all this before the Senate last week, and it really was a wide-ranging, pretty thoughtful discussion of where we are on cyber defense and on offense, and it really did validate the point that John McCain has been making for a long time, which is that we really don't have a cohesive policy on cyber defense, how we would respond to an attack. And that's another one of the board's recommendations, that the government really needs a bunch of tailored strategies and a playbook for how you'd respond to a certain kind of attack from a particular country, and you need to exercise those. Which gets into one of the points that Keith Alexander made, and people will remember him as the former commander of U.S. Cyber Command. Big proponent at the time of what people always call a whole-of-government approach to cyber defense, but slightly different tone last week on that now that he's retired. He basically acknowledged that agencies are not working together very well.
Chairman McCain, I agree. It's not working. There are four stovepipes, and it doesn't make sense. If we were running this like a business, we'd put them together. You now have all these committees in Congress looking at all these, and it's messed up. So the answer lies in a couple areas. And I would recommend a discussion with former Secretary Gates, because he and I had this, and I'll give you the gist of what we talked about, which was bring it together. We were looking at how you'd bring together at least Homeland Security, the law enforcement, and you already had the intel community and Defense Department together under one framework. And I think that's where we need to go. Before we do that, I would highly recommend that we get those four groups together and practice, do a couple of exercises with Congress and with the government and potentially with industry, and show how this would and should work. I think we've got to lay that out like we do with any other operation. We haven't done that. So what you have is people acting independently. And with those seams, we will never defend this country. And more importantly, when industry looks at our government, they are quite frankly dismayed. We are all over the map, and no one can answer who's responsible.
And Alexander, now in his capacity in the private sector, really does insist that private industry wants to help here if it's allowed to do so.
Interesting what he says the four stovepipes are: law enforcement, intelligence, defense, and the rest of the government. I thought he meant the Army, Navy, Marines, and the Air Force.
Yeah, I mean, they are stovepiped in a lot of other ways, but I think people would argue that they are actually pretty well integrated under the auspices of U.S. Cyber Command and the way they report and provide forces through that mechanism. So, yeah, he's talking about the broader government approach.
So where does Congress, it seems like the ball's in their court, really, at this point?
It is to a certain extent, because Congress is equally stovepiped in a lot of ways. You know, we've talked a lot before about how, you know, there is no central oversight mechanism for the Department of Homeland Security. That is equally true for cyber defense. Committees of jurisdiction are spread really all across Congress. This is a problem that the Defense Science Board has identified, too. They've got a similar take to Alexander's. They tend to agree that, you know, interagency cooperation is a problem, so is cooperation amongst defense committees, but it's more of a lack of overall coordination across the government.
Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu, thanks so much for that update.
You betcha.